The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio, your chance to have your say about what's on your mind. Your story, your version of events, whatever it is, your honestly held opinion is more than welcome. What did you think of what was said yesterday with Peter Washington, chair of Douglas Housing, and also David Ashford, who was talking? Of course, he's the government chair of housing. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding, particularly their thoughts about the way that social housing was treated, the fact that perhaps Willesden would have been better done, like Paul Rose. Anyway, it's going to be a wee while longer before the whole Willesden refurb is completed. But thoughts on it in general. What about the point that Peter Washington made about old couples, elderly couples indeed, who then retire? Perhaps they've been paying private rent, and when the source of income is cut off, then would spill down into the social sector. There's going to be a heck of a squeeze on housing in general on the Isle of Man, and quite how we organise it, quite how we sort it out. Well, they said, didn't they, at the last election, housing was a big priority, a big priority. I just wonder whether you think that they've got the priorities right in this administration. But any thoughts? And remember, next Monday is when you can spill all your thoughts out to them in person. Because the Listening to You roadshows are going to be out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday of next week in Ramsey, in Douglas, in Castletown and in Peel. The doors open at 5:15, event starts at 5:30, finishes at 8 o'clock. Each venue is accessible and there's also on-site car parking. Monday, Ramsey Grammar School. Tuesday, Ballycommeen High School in Douglas. Wednesday, Castle Rushen High School in Castletown. And Thursday, the QE2 High School in Peel. And they'd like to see you. And I'm sure you'd like to see them. So text, email, call and WhatsApp. The government is facing growing pressure to accelerate its climate change efforts, after the last official report revealed the number of critical targets are either at risk or have already been missed. I wonder what your thoughts are with this. The 2024-2025 Climate Change Transformation Report outlines progress made under the Climate Change Plan 2022-2027. It provides a sector-by-sector update on the Isle of Man's efforts to cut greenhouse gas emissions and transition to a net zero economy. Our net zero economy. Now, the minister in charge of this is Claire Barber. Claire Barber is the DEFA minister. So what does she think about it? The report highlights that some of the most important deliverables, particularly around electricity and buildings, are behind schedule. Claire Barber, Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister.
2024 has been a challenging year with lots of priorities elsewhere, looking at how we can support healthcare, how we can look at efficiencies across government and look at where we can support things such as housing. However, there have absolutely been some real win-win opportunities within the climate change sphere. And a lot of that has been around focusing on projects that have co-benefits. So one of the big spends really has been through the energy efficiency scheme and through Green Living Grant scheme. So looking at how we can reduce the heating emissions. And we have seen a big success story really in that area with 26% reduction, give or take, I think it is, since 2018.
Overall emissions have only fallen by 3.8% since 2018. The island is legally required to reduce them by 35% by 2030. Is that target still realistically achievable?
I think we're quite open that the changes in terms of the falls we've seen this year, and it is relatively small, is a lot of it due to people reducing the amount of heat they're using because of bills having risen, people making their own choices, and also some of that work that's been done around making homes more efficient. The really big wins through all of the climate change work will be decarbonisation of our electricity supply.
Because that is meant to be fully decarbonised by 2030, but the report now lists it as at risk. What is the plan to get that target back on track?
This is an area that we're doing a lot of work on at the minute in terms of finalising how we will do that. I think it's fair to say if you'd have looked 5 years ago, we felt there was a really obvious solution was around a second interconnector. We know there's now been a lot of conversation that there may be alternatives to that. And I think it's absolutely right that when we're looking at investing significant amounts of taxpayer money, that we ensure that we've done all of the background work so that we make a decision that is the one that hasn't got regrets for us.
Claire Barber, the minister in charge of that. Now, she mentioned, obviously, we've got priorities like health, Manx care. We'll be talking about that tomorrow with Theresa Cope, the chief exec, efficiencies within government, and housing. So what do you think about it? What's your thought regarding the fact that we are falling behind with our targets? Targets that may be at risk or have already been missed in the Climate Change Transformation Report and the Climate Change Plan. Further to the raft in Douglas Bay, unfortunately, says 470, apparently we're not getting one. So I wonder why that is. We've not heard absolutely definitively. If anybody can find out definitively, are we getting the raft in Douglas Bay, as many other resorts have got them? Lots of us in Spring Valley were told when we moved in not to decorate, as we wouldn't be here long, as the houses are going to be knocked down. I've been here 5 years, still don't know what's going on. And as for poor Mrs. Kelly, who phoned in yesterday, it's disgusting the way she's been treated. Well, Mrs. Kelly's number was passed on to Peter Washington, who I think contacted Councillor Corrin as well. So hopefully that situation will be sorted out. But it was a sad situation that Mrs. Kelly passed on to us yesterday. Francis said, Andy, do you not think the Minister's Roadshow is a political farce? Well, Francis, my opinion's neither here nor there. It's your opinion that works. So I presume you're going to be going. You make a mistake asking my opinion. I don't have opinions. The statement the government is going to miss its legal requirement on global emissions sounds like a concocted statement to cause panic and excuse the push with this idea for onshore wind turbines. MHKs must think we are thick. This is 762's words. To not see their agenda and the total lack of public concerns. Well, it's in statute 762. That's the whole point. It's there. A shock my daughter had when she asked for a trolley to put her heavy luggage on at the Liverpool boat terminal. She was told bluntly to try and carry them to the taxi rank. Are there not any trolleys to carry heavy luggage for foot passengers at the Liverpool boat terminal? Do you have any experience of this? The reductions in emissions, says Ian, 817, the reductions in emissions, politicians need to realise that people are struggling now and many are not in a position to make the changes to their lives to meet that green agenda. People are struggling to live today without worrying about emissions. So, I'd like the older generation, 935, we have to do something about this. The government's green energy plans. We have to do something because change is inevitable. We all have a collective responsibility to make a change, and having targets and missing them is better than doing nothing at all. As a small island, we have the opportunity to lead the rest of the world, says this correspondent. I got many notes in yesterday. We were absolutely packed out with messages yesterday and phone calls as well with David Ashford and Peter Washington. Rent's affordable, says 017, if it's 30% or less of the median income, says George. £67,000 is a decent income for a couple, says 538. We were talking about the thresholds that you have to meet to get a social house, and obviously if you're above it, they can charge more rent. David's correct, says John. Landlords are leaving the rental market. 557, this was. David Ashford mentioned that private landlords are leaving. Young people's employment can be worldwide with today's connectivity, and they're less interested in purchasing property but travelling further afield. David also mentioned that obviously there are some multimillionaires who have lots and lots, I mean dozens and dozens of properties. But most private landlords don't have dozens and dozens of properties. They have probably as many as you could count on one hand, sometimes on one finger. So, the Landlords Act and the threat of legislation has led some private landlords to leave the sector. And obviously, the tenants have to go as well. The Landlords Act, again, this is 057. The Landlords Act's the main reason landlords are selling up. Also, the DHSS payments, an attitude to landlords doesn't help social tenants either. Well, any thoughts on this? By all means, do get in touch. Oh, Julian's first with us today. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. My ears were burning when I was hearing about net zero again. I did listen to Claire Barber this morning. Interesting when she said about stopping our exports down the interconnector. Well, actually, that's a 30% or a third of our emissions. So is this about money or is it about emissions? Because if you stop producing the extra that we don't need, in which case the question arises about the national need to do all of this. If you see what I mean.
So what do you think we should do?
Well, I think people should have a look at a document. I've just emailed it to you, Andy. I don't know if you've got it yet. The Cairvy Wind Farm project overview last year from the MUA states under its heading, this is not the document I've sent you, this is another one I'm going to refer to in a minute. It says that the energy yields from the Cairvy Wind Farm would produce between, and there's a couple of numbers, 100 to 150 gigawatt hours. So say 100 to 150 units. The Isle of Man uses 350. So the wind farm, according to last year's MUA report, would be 100 to 150. So a document has surfaced, which I've just sent you. It was a talk given by Dr. David Quirk, who is the research director of the Energy and Sustainability Centre, on the 13th of July, 2023. And he gave this talk to the Chamber of Commerce Sustainability Board, the chairman of who is Ralph Peak, who also happens to be a founding member and business director of the Energy and Sustainability Centre. So during the talk, Dr. Quirk states, and I quote, "The planned 30 megawatt capacity of renewables, including wind and solar together, would supply only one-fifth of the current electricity demand. One-fifth. But 100 to 150 in the MUA report that we've been sold is roughly a third. So 2 years ago, when all this started, David Quirk told the Chamber of Commerce Sustainability Board that we'd only get 20% out of the renewables, including solar. But now it's 30%. So the members of that board include Simon Sheet, who's the developer of the carbon footprint tool, Nancy Shepherd from Capital International, Emma Sale, and Adam Cremore. So I'm wondering, have they noticed that the goalposts have changed radically in the last 2 years in terms of how much we're going to get out of this wind farm and consequently how much longer it's going to take and how much less money we're going to make out of it and how much less emissions is going to be saved? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, with all of this, Julian, To be kind, a lot of people are just licking their fingers and sticking it in the air. We don't know how this is going to work out until we've got it.
Yeah, but we've got a situation where 2 years ago, the energy yields were actually getting closer to reality. Now they're completely inflated to the point of insanity. I mean, 150 gigawatts a year, you'd be lucky to get 40 to 50 out of the actual farm in reality. And that's not taking into account all the extra money we're going to need to do all that inertia bit, which is going to cost millions. Right. And I don't think that's been included.
So are you, saying that this, if this is wrong, it'll be too late because we've got the wind farm already?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got the report in front of you. It says 1/5 of our energy requirements. Well, that is nothing like what the report from the MUA is coming out from. I mean, they're both in the public domain, and you can see both. I mean, I think I sent you the other one a while ago. So what is it? Is it, I mean, the Carefi roadshow that Wardell Armstrong did with the MUA last year, they showed a load factor of 62%. Well, actually, the figures that David Quirk is talking about 2 years ago is about 30%. So is it 30%? Is it 62%? Or it's 100, I mean, 100 to 150 represents 74%.
Right, so this is the David Quirk. And he was been on Manoline, hasn't he? He's the guy who was... Is he based in Denmark?
That's right. I'm sure he's got a telephone, though. I'd just like him to explain the talk that he gave to the Chamber of Commerce Sustainability Board. I mean, what did he mean by that? And, you know, there's other things that are not being talked about. For example, if we start ramping up and down Paul Rose Power Station, there's going to be an extra emission because we're going to have to lose that steam engine, the one that gives us free energy, which is actually really, really clean energy. That's going to increase the CO2 footprint per year of Paul Rose by 3,864 tons. You're going to lose 16% efficiency on the whole of Paul Rose Power Station once you put the wind turbine in. So you're going to lose more than you gain. And also, it's not 24/7, it's intermittent.
Okay, so
you're also going to have...
Yeah, just, I mean, the whole point about when people talk about renewable energy and this and green energy, their main thrust is that energy will be cheap and plentiful. Do you agree with that?
No, because all the other costs, for example, if you start ramping down Paul Rose Power Station, you're going to start contracting and expanding the pipes in the steam engine. That's a 20% increase in operational and maintenance costs. You've then got an extra 25% in extra cost because the steam turbine is going to lose. So you're looking at probably over $100,000 a year more just in servicing costs on the existing Paul Rose Power Station. Not forgetting that if we used about the same amount of money as this wind farm on just taking out the gas turbines and the steam heat recovery generator, for about the same money, we could completely renovate it for another 40 years of everyday use for 100%, not a fifth, and it's not intermittent, it's on all the time, and we know this because we've had the, what was it Lizzie Riley said, the most reliable power in Europe. And also, it would be about 12% more efficient. That would save probably about £5 million in less gas usage. And also, the current power station that we've got, according to the government website, the actual emissions that they're talking about is NOx or nitrogen oxide. And they're saying 1,378 tons per year. But if you bought a new one, they've got two new cleaners, you might say. You've got the dry low emission burners and you've got the selective catalytic reduction system. That would reduce the output of nitrogen oxide from 1,378 tons to 24 tons. That's a 98% reduction. Sulfur dioxide would go from 3.8 tons, according to the government report I've got in front of me, down to 0.2 or 200 kilos.
Okay.
So a 95% drop. So you're talking, you just spend the money on a new power station. We've got 40 years of everything that we need. In fact, you could probably ramp it up a bit and get a bit bigger, you know, if we must have heat pumps, which I don't understand anyway, because they're not very efficient, actually. And everyone's talking about a warming world.
Right.
What's more efficient would be to put air conditioners in everyone's houses.
So,
because
just tell me then, I mean, it sounds like you don't believe a word the government says.
Well, I'm just taking what the government's saying. That report from 2 years ago is completely at odds with what we're being sold as to how much energy we're going to get out of Carefi.
Right.
To a tune of a lot. You know what I mean? I mean, which is it?
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks for that. Good to hear from you. Thank you, Julian.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
26 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Man in Line is here through until 1 o'clock. Nobody seems to consider another property issue, and that is last-time buyers, says Helen. Those who can no longer manage their own homes. When they come to sell their house, the money doesn't cover. Bungalows and the many new properties are completely unsuitable. There's a growing number of older people who are becoming homeless, says Helen. And a retired mason and bricklayer says Spring Valley houses are proper solid buildings. They were built by one of the best builders in the Isle of Man, McCormack and Davis. They've had new roofs, windows, doors and central heating over the last 15 years. The biggest cock-up, shall I say, that was made was filling the cavity walls with polystyrene balls. A cavity's there for a reason. That's to stop the damp from the outer leak to the inner wall. A good team of maintenance men could have had those properties sorted, lintels, sills, and get a great number of years out of them, as they're very good solid buildings, says that retired bricklayer and mason. We live in Groves Road, and we've been packed, ready to move 5 times, but we get are letters saying the house is being pulled down. My mum's 94, and I don't think she'd stand moving. Here's Eddie now. Hi, Eddie.
Hiya, mate. You all right?
Very well, thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind? I think I know.
You're wrong.
You're calling with a recipe, then.
Well, first of all, that retired bricklayer.
Yeah.
I think I've actually said this. I don't know how many times, but it's exactly the fact. As simple as that. You know, somebody comes up with these marvellous ideas of throwing loads of insulation inside the cavity, and the cavity was invented for one reason. So, well done, that bricklayer, yeah.
Okay.
Fellow bricklayer, may I say. But, yeah, you're so right. I did come on for something else. I can't believe the Claire Barber statement. And can I just point out two little things, Andy? You've just been talking to Julian.
Yeah.
And two things that you said in there. One was, we may as well stick two fingers up in the air. And
no, I said stick a finger up in the air.
Hazard a guess.
Yes.
And hazard a guess, right? Yes. Is that what you said somewhere? Right?
No, I said it's like you lick your finger and stick it in the air and see which way the wind's going. Yeah. And that's the way it seems sometimes.
Those two fingers that you stick in the air, you can lick as well. But the other thing you said, right, to Julian was, do you not trust this government or believe anything they say? Well, the fact is that nobody believes this government. Nobody's believed this government for years. And if you look at some of the things that you've been discussing, and Julian and Claire Barber and all the rest of it, the MUA, for the last 3 weeks, we're involved in this. We're checking what they say. We're finding out for ourselves the truth, the lot. We're doing everything that we can to get the proper truth out of it. Two things that are the truth. We haven't found anywhere in the world where you get cheaper electricity from wind farms. Right? It's as simple as that. The only places you get them are the ones who are going to lie. Denmark who produce them, China who are involved in the making of them, so on. And Russia who are at war with everybody, I think. But there's so many things we already know. We know all these things. Wardell Armstrong and the MUA, how could anybody trust what they say after what we found out and exposed? You've listened to all of us talking about what we've found out. The people out here already know. Claire Barber, she must live on a different planet. There isn't anywhere in the world now. Well, there might be just a couple of places left who actually think and obey by this net zero. They've all pulled out of it. All the major countries have pulled out of it, and everybody else is just ignoring it. Why is it that we've got this stupid government who keep... What they want to do is get out of it, and then we'll be on the right road. We are definitely on the wrong road.
Well, Eddie, what they're doing is they're following their process, because this net zero plan was put in place. It was the 2022 to 2027 net zero plan. So this is in there. This is their mandate. This is what was worked out by our elected officials. And this, if you like, it's a railway. It's a train that's on the rails, and they're the train that's following the rails. So, and that's their job. The government's job is to enact what's been created under statute, and this has been created.
And every now and again, we get a bad lot in who make the wrong decisions. As soon as the election comes round, all of these lot have been proved wrong now. The people out here do not want any of these lot in who talk like that. They know it's wrong. We just can't get through to them. And you had somebody called up before and said, these things are a farce. They are a farce at the government at roadshow. We've listened to them. Well, we will ask the same questions and we'll get the same ridiculous answers and nothing will be done.
So why, I mean, do you genuinely think that the politicians don't hear what some people in the public are saying? Not all people. Well, some people agree with it, Eddie.
Not many. I can tell you now, listen, I haven't had one person phone me to say that they're for them. But I've had 99% say they are stupid. They must be stupid. And they all say the same thing, Andy. I know it's a horrible thing to have to say, but they're very suspicious about what deals have already been done. You know, it just leans itself to say they've already done some dealing here. Otherwise, they wouldn't be going down this track.
Well, it's fair to say, I mean, if you're going down, and remember, this is a huge commitment for an island the size that we are to make. It's a huge capital commitment. So it will be, it's obvious that they must have made some preparation. They must have made preparatory inquiries. They must have, you know, figured out how much this is going to cost. So surely they will have done perhaps deals in principle with people who may be supplying stuff, because you can't go to B&Q and just get this stuff off the shelf. You have to order it years ahead.
Again, I don't know why you believe in what they say. Out here, the people don't, Andy. We do not believe a single thing the MUA have said or Wardell Armstrong. I'm up here watching what they do. They are the biggest load of amateurs I've ever come across in my life.
In what way?
I mean, well, I've been watching their bird service. We've been watching their animals and insect service. They are amateurs. They haven't got a clue. And yet they're charging, up to now, what have they charged? 3.2 million?
Something like that.
It's money for a rope, Andy. It's somebody somewhere is conning the people of the Isle of Man. And as far as I'm concerned, the people in the Isle of Man, eventually are going to rise up and chuck this lot out. The sooner the better.
Okay. All right, honestly. Eddie. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you today. I've been trying to get the public footpath open in Williston Crescent, but having viewed the mess the lady who lives in number 61 has had to put up with, I don't think this is right. The path is in her garden and the overgrowth is very bad. She's been paying a gardener to cut it back regularly during the summer months. So I asked that Douglas Corporation gardeners take on the job and start cutting the mess at no expense to the tenant living in number 61, says Charlie. Tomorrow, Teresa Cope will be on. Teresa Cope is the chief executive of Manx Care, an organisation that's just over 4 years old. It was there to separate the operational activities from the department, the DHSC, Department of Health and Social Care. It was created to save money. It was created to do a better job. Well, Teresa Cope will be on tomorrow to chat with you and to talk about the latest things that are happening in Manx Care. She's on at 12 midday.
It's time to salute our armed forces and service families and have fun too. Saturday the 28th of June is Armed Forces Day at the Villa Marina Gardens, with fairground rides, veterans charity stalls, military stands and more between 1 and 5, and free afternoon tea for all from 4. Armed Forces Day, Saturday, June 28th. open to all, and entries free. Show your support for our forces, past and present.
Spring, a time for new beginnings and nature. This season, why not have a fresh start by switching your savings to Guernsey's Bank Skipton International and watch them grow? Skipton International offers a range of savings accounts, from fixed term to notice and easy access, enabling your savings to bloom for longer. So make this spring one to remember by switching to Skipton International today.
For details of all Skipton International savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
The extended Ramsey Garden Centre is deceptively large. You'll find a warm welcome and everything from bedding and perennials, fruit and vegetables, to lighting, garden ornaments, bird baths, bird tables and indoor and outdoor pots. Come and browse at Ramsey Garden Centre.
Coming up, we have another winning weekend on Manx Radio, and this time we're giving you the chance to win a place at Stage Ed's Summer Stage School, worth £160. 5 days of singing, dancing and acting for anyone aged between 6 and 18. You'll explore songs from Hamilton, Matilda, Frozen, Heathers and more, with a performance for friends and family at the end of the week. To win, listen out right across the weekend, and as soon as you hear our special question, text your answer to 166 177 and make sure you're listening on Monday afternoon to find out if you're the lucky winner. Don't miss your chance to win this weekend with Stage Ed and Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I think it's completely nonsense. Just leave it as it is. 30 miles an hour is perfect. 20 miles near the schools and it's perfect.
Why? Well, there we are. That's what some people have been saying about the 20 mile per hour zone and what we're going to do with it. I think Juan's got a voice on that. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Mr. Wint?
Very well. I'm travelling at 19 miles an hour.
Well, are you going to be travelling at 19 mile an hour to watch the bike and boat race on Saturday? Now, we've got an event here which is unique, and I think everyone should go down because Tynwald have got an entry in the boat race. This could be one of the few times that we see our government all rowing in the same direction.
Very good.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. And don't forget to go to Armed Forces Day afterwards. Where are we? I'm just looking at the 20 mile an hour, just to jump back on that for a little bit. And you look at going back, well, we've got Tynwald's alignment with UN SDGs, as for Sustainable Development Goals, which is what they've said that they're doing. So basically, from what I can see from all the stuff that's been coming out and what Julian searched out, is they've really put forward the safety agenda to get people to go on their pathway, is their words, isn't it? Because I think if people actually realise that it's actually, if you look at the transport section of the UN SDGs, it's to integrate the Transport 2030 agenda, to integrate climate change measures in national policy. And I think this is what this is really about. The safety thing is the little nuggets to get people to follow on the journey. The bigger nugget is they want people on bikes and they want people doing all the sustainables, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I understand Juan, but the fact is, I mean, and one of the big pillars of this is public transport. So I can't understand why the government, in parallel to this, is not ramping up the availability of public transport. I don't understand. If public transport, if they want people out of cars, you know, everybody's not going to walk everywhere or get a bike. Surely public transport is a big pillar of this.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, just on a small note there, when I was in Mexico a couple of years ago, and they had a fantastic public transport system. You wouldn't need to get a car because every 10, 15 minutes as a bus comes along, and it's like 20 pence or 30 pence to jump on it, jump off it, wherever you wanted to go. So I totally agree with you on that principle. I think maybe the Victorians had it right many years ago when they had a tram service going right the way up through the centre of Douglas.
Tell me, were these little buses or big buses, single-deckers or double-deckers in Mexico?
single deckers, but decent size single decker buses. But they go around all the whole of the hotel zone, so you can get anywhere to restaurants, food, shopping, jump on, jump off, 20 pence, 30 pence, didn't break the bank, and it does keep the cars down. Totally agree. But this whole agenda of this, I mean, the 20 minute cities and all this stuff, it might work if you're building a new city which is on the flat. But Douglas is built on a load of rock face there. And, I mean, for people who... You're talking about an older generation. They're not going to cycle up and down to the top of Douglas to lower Douglas. So this whole thing, if you look at the actually written, I think Frank Schnugel went down to the presentation the other day, and it's kind of written there. But the safety side of it is really down the list, if you will. But they know that people won't follow them if they told them what their real agenda was on this. So I think, you know, people need to look at that. On that note, tomorrow, I think Dr Hayward is going down tomorrow. Is it at the sea terminal?
It is, yes. She's going to be at the sea terminal saying hello to everybody.
Well, we're going to go down and say hello to everyone tomorrow as well. So if you're down there around about 4:30 to 5:30, I think Julian's going to go down as well. And if you're waiting to speak to Dr. Waves Haywood tomorrow, then we can have a chat with anyone if they're down there and show them some of the information that we've got.
Well, one of the things that again, people who within the government say often is that it's only the people who disagree who speak up. The vast majority of people do agree. The silent majority will probably agree with this, and it's only the people who disagree who speak up. What do you think?
Well, maybe on the chess game here, Andy, we've got 1 in 4 population that's employed by government, and you don't bite the hand that feeds. So there's a lot of people that actually think the same as us, but are paid by government. I think that came about as well when Dr. Hayward mentioned something a couple of months ago about people posting on social media that work for the department. And that kind of says it all, doesn't it, really? People are stifled in what they actually want to say. I know the people that contact me or phone me that work in different departments in health and all sorts that say things that they don't want to say. So you've got that part of it as well, Andy. But we just keep saying at the end of the day, all we do is throw out the figures there. Julian throws a lot more figures out than me, and it's basically government figures, which is there to be read if you can be bothered looking for
it. But, I mean, surely the government and surely HR within government would have policies about this. If somebody within government disagrees with government policy, they surely would be allowed to say that, wouldn't they? I mean, presumably, as long as they don't go around the office shouting it out of hours, presumably they're allowed to have a contrary opinion to the government line, aren't they?
Well, one would think so in a democratic world, but we're slowly creeping into a draconian world from a democratic world, Andy. and no one's going to risk the thought of getting sacked to say something. They're just going to sit down and go with it. And, you know, people are going to call us for being petrol heads and this and that and the other. We're the ones that are asking for geothermal. We're the ones that actually want proper, true, sustainable energy on the island. And that's what I don't get, because people call us for this, that and the other. But, you know, for a couple of £1 million, you can do a drill hole. And we might be, or might have, the best sustainable energy ever, that we can just put our fingers up to other people and go, we're all right, thanks. Our hospitals are running for virtually nothing. Our schools are running for nothing. We could actually be leaders, which is what the Isle of Man always seems to want.
So if the government turned around and said, we'll throw, I don't know, £2 million on a test borehole for geothermal, and we'll throw some money into more public transport and drop the price, would that be a way in the right direction for you?
I would think so. I mean, if you look at, and the average person, when they look at the figures that the government bandy around, I mean, £525 million wage bill this last year. So £2 million or £3 million for a borehole, which could give us sustainable energy, is nothing. And the money that they've spent on the steam packet building in Liverpool, £95 million, maybe upwards from that, £2 million is nothing in the great scope of things. That could actually give us proper sustainable energy, not the kind of, I wouldn't say lies, but it's a conservative with the truth vision of what they want. They're just following agendas, and it's other people's agendas. They don't want to admit to it. They think it's their idea. They like their idea, but it's just agendas. All you have to do is look at the 2030 agendas, Andy, and everything else has been written.
Okay.
That's all they're following.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, Stuart.
Cheers out.
Good to hear from you. John says, Andy, talking of railways and public footpaths, walking along the St John's to Ramsey Railway, there's an area cordoned off for horses with no signs. Does anybody know, is that private now? The railway route is improving thanks to the DOI. Dr. Allinson considers it a very valuable asset for active travel. Any thoughts? You're on by calling, texting, emailing and WhatsApping and everything else. And David's on. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to talk about what have we actually done as a government and supported the government, or the government supported the population of the Isle of Man to put green initiatives forward. And I'm just talking about the small wins, is the likes of, we've probably got about 20 schools shortly in a few weeks' time are going to be empty for months on end. Why haven't we got PV panels on them? Why haven't they got solar evacuation tubes on them to produce energy back into the school itself, or sell the surplus on the net? I believe, one of my biggest beliefs is, our network, electrical network on the island, has to be reinforced and made stronger, because we're going to have to rely on that cable coming across from the sea when we can't... we'll always have the power station here. Whatever form it's going to be in for the future, it's going to have to be another station built. Is it going to be on the site? And just to... And I'm not the Mr. Quirk that said about geothermal, but he did say, and I remember being on Manx Radio saying that the Isle of Man is not suitable. He's looked at it, although people would say he's got an interest in something like that. But I think he was fairly honest to say to us, in the island here, we haven't got anywhere suitable where we're going to connect something into that's going to produce energy. And that's the biggest thing for us all, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, yeah.
You look at this, all the public buildings we've got, nothing on them. We're refurbishing local authority houses. Why aren't we putting PV panels on? Making it easier for those people to...
Well, that's interesting. I saw something on the news, and Liz pointed it out to me just now. She said, all new builds in the UK must have solar panels on the roof. Why don't we do the same thing? So if the councils are basically refurbishing houses, why don't they stick some solar panels on?
Well, yes, and why isn't the government saying to them, we'll fund it for you, but you've got to put this in? And at the end of the day, I didn't listen to the programme yesterday, but I will do later on today and find out. My biggest bear is Charlie's quite right. I know the Charlie guy from Williston. I used to be a Williston boy myself. That lane that was extinguished years ago by one of the ministers in DOI was done wrong. It wasn't advertised or publicised or whatever. They closed a public footpath to go from Williston Crescent over to Johnny Watson's Lane. And it was a shame on them. And something should have been done. They should have been brought to book on that at the end of the day. The other thing is, too, just to slip in a little bit, Andy, too, to the DOI, lovely organisation, isn't it? Is that my bus shelter, I'm calling it mine now because I've adopted it in near the Port Jack Chippy, still not done, but the sign is still there, imminent in the future. It says on that sign, you've seen the post, haven't you?
We should
do that.
Is that
a breach of promise?
No, we should do it. It should be Quirk's bus stop. I think we'll call it that from now on.
Yeah, well, if it's not done within a few months, I'm going to get some paint from somebody I know and maybe have a little go myself.
Okay.
All right.
thanks for calling 11 minutes before one. Mary said, look, Andy, when Teresa Cope's on tomorrow, will you talk about recruitment on the Isle of Man and also the student nursing programme? Actually, I think we will be. I think it's something called Homegrown on Island. I remember when the matrons were in a while ago, they talked about that. Also, the student nursing programme, paramedic training and professional training that is taking place on the Isle of Man. We're always talking about recruiting nurses from across. Do we grow our own nurses, if you pardon the expression?
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom, or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450 500. That's 450 500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Order! Order! In this case for Manx Car Store, let's review the facts. Firstly, you handpick an excellent range of quality cars for all budgets, are a trusted car sourcing specialist, you knowingly open 7 days a week, and are subject to an excessive number of five-star web reviews. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Very well. This court hereby declares Manx Car Store five-star.
Don't take their word for it. Find out for yourself. Visit manxcarstore.com or find them on Facebook.
Ride the trams and trains this summer. Get discounted travel with 1, 3, 5, or 7 day Go Explore cards. Visit the Isle of Man's heritage sites with the Go Explore Heritage Card, which includes entry into national heritage sites. And enjoy family days out to Port Erin, Laxey or Ramsey. For timetables and more great destinations, plan your summer adventures now at rail.im. Isle of Man
Railways. Tonight here on Manx Radio at 5.30, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for a special look back at the Silver Lapwing Awards, which were held here on the Isle of Man.
We chat to the finalists who encouraged and support the wildlife alongside commercial food production and some of the organisers.
It all took place courtesy of Rob and David Cool from the Ballagorn Farm, who were the winners of the prestigious Silver Lapwing Award last year.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 5.30. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's Beastie. Hi, Beastie.
Oh, it's a bit late now, isn't it?
Oh, no, I'm sure. You'll be fine.
Look, I love questionnaires. I fill them in with glee, but I received one yesterday, and it's come from Harrow, but it is from the Infrastructure Highway Services, Buntregalis, Shervation Raja. So I assume it's to do with our government. And again, the government is throwing money away like nobody's business. This is signed by the Director of Highway Services, whose, I don't know, his name is More Blessing Peduru.
That's a woman.
What?
That's a woman, not a man.
Right. So that is our Director of Highway Services, is it?
Yes, it is.
Right. Well, has she actually read this questionnaire that has been sent out to people on the island asking for things like, are we satisfied with the reliability of electronic display information at the bus stops?
It's a bit difficult to be disappointed with it because there's none there.
Well, and how often do we use the train but not the underground or the metro? How often do we use park and ride? Do we make use of the National Free Bus Pass? This has come from a place called Ipsos in Harrow, but it doesn't say what Ipsos is. It just says, the first time it's mentioned, it just says nobody outside Ipsos will be able to know which. And then if I've got any further comments or suggestions to provide extra detail, we suggest you contact the DOI directly. I mean, how much money has been wasted on this, and what on earth is it all for?
Well, I can tell you, Ipsos is a market research company.
I gather that.
I mean, it's a French company, but it's based in Britain. So, I mean, they're very reputable. But as you say, this doesn't sound very well thought out, does it?
It's nobody on the Isle of Man has read it and said, no, we don't want that question. We don't want that question. We don't want that question. Not appropriate. It's just a blanket thing. They're paying for this to be done. Ipsos will analyse it and send us back the information, which won't mean anything whatsoever and won't help life on the Isle of Man at all, other than a load of money being yet again wasted by this totally inadequate government. Get them out!
Beastie, I just want to ask you one question. Have you filled the questionnaire in?
Do you know, I don't know whether to or not. But it does say, this is interesting, it does say that taking part online, which, you know, I've only got a landline telephone, so I've got this, what's it, 16-page questionnaire, and it tells me that if I take part online, it will reduce the environmental impact. But they've already sent me the paper questionnaire. How is it going to reduce the environmental impact? I don't know what to do with it, whether to just put it in the bin or send it to More Blessing Pederu and ask her, have you actually read this? Have you sanctioned this?
Beastie, these are very intelligent, clever people. They must have read it.
That's right, the line hasn't been cut off.
You're stunned, aren't you?
If they were intelligent, they would have read it through first before they sanctioned sending it out. And I don't know what the hell Ipsos is. And it just says, fill this in, and then it says, nobody outside Ipsos. What Ipsos? What's Ipsos? It doesn't start off by saying, we are Ipsos and we are carrying out this questionnaire on behalf of your government. It's just totally inadequate. I'm fuming about the money that has been thrown away on this. Yet again, get them out.
Beastie, it's time to go away and have a cup of tea, calm down, and make sure. Have you got any Manx pound notes, by the way?
I can't get them. The post office won't let me have them. Why not?
Okay, Beastie, thank you.
Stu Peters, I want the pound notes at the post office. Thanks. Tell Stu Peters.
Thanks.
Why can't I get the pound notes at the post office?
Thanks, Beastie. Thank you. Thank you very much, Matt. Time for a lie down. Remember to chase some Manx pound notes. Oh, tomorrow, remember, Teresa Cope's on the air on Manx Radio. She's going to be talking about Manx care, and I hope you'll join us. And tomorrow between 3:30 and 7, remember, Michelle Haywood will be at the sea terminal to talk about the 20-mile-per-hour zone. If you agree with it, do go and tell her, by the way. And thanks to Howie on the phones today.
WINT.
Meet Jane.